Thank you for tuning into The Record on KUOW. For years in American pop culture, motherhood has been treated as a gauzy pink enigma. Mothers glowed during pregnancy. They nursed their babies discreetly and in private. Being a mother was seen as a woman's highest calling. The pressure women can feel to be perfect, well, that can start just a little after they learn they're pregnant. Doctors, pregnancy books, the internet, strangers offering advice, not always based in fact. Seattle writer Angela Garbez wondered why it all has to be that way, and the book that emerged from that curiosity is called Like a Mother. And Angela joins us now, along with her mom, Josie, and Angela's very, very small daughter. How old is LaGaia?
She's 3 months old.
3 months old. Welcome, all three of you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. Three generations in the studio.
Three generations with me in the studio. Angela, you are so skeptical of the medical establishment that I was a little surprised to find out that Josie, your mom, is a nurse. So first, Angela, will you tell us what you mean when you say the medical establishment doesn't have all the answers?
Right. Well, I mean, I mean that pretty simply. And I wouldn't say that I'm so skeptical. I think that there's great benefits, which I have talked about in the book,
yes,
to medicine and what they've done to reduce the rates of maternal mortality and infant mortality. But it's really only in the last century that in American society we've medicalized childbirth, which is around the world for centuries. It was midwives who guided birth. And those are people who, older women who had lived experience. They didn't have formal training, but they had, you know, undeniable expertise. And so the establishment of the medical establishment really was an active campaign to discredit midwives and to establish obstetrics and gynecology. And so while I think there's many benefits that have come from that, I think there's also great wisdom that can be learned from women and from listening to those stories. And that's what I'm interested in, sort of finding a balance between those two.
Josie, what did you learn about the medical establishment reading your daughter's new book?
Wow, I'm really amazed at all the information my daughter had put out there for everybody to read. Even though I'm a nurse, even in my nursing career, we really knew little. I'm not saying knew little, but there were so many things too that I'm amazed the information that she had expounded in her book. There are a lot of changes now in the medical profession, in the nursing profession. I don't even know if I can go back because it's high tech. It's really high tech nursing now. It's very different. Very different from where I mean, I'm going to be 50 years celebrating my 50 years in nursing school. In fact, we're going to have our 50th reunion. But a lot of things have changed. I opened myself to the new changes, especially with child rearing, helping them with the care of the grandchildren.
What's a change? What's a significant change in child rearing?
Well, you know, we used to put our babies to sleep on their belly.
Yes.
Now I can't do that. we never swaddled back. I never experienced swaddling in the Philippines. I had to buy into that.
She called it mummification.
I called it mummification because you see the baby all can't move, but I found out it was for the baby's good because when they have the startle reflex, they wake up. But being in the swaddle, it makes them just sleep continuously. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the big thing I had to buy into.
Well, how do you know, Angela, when we have so much information available to us? We have doctors and we have traditions and we have assumptions. And how does a modern mother or about to be mother sort through all that without feeling all the pressure you describe in this book?
Well, I think that's the thing is we sort through all of that and we feel tremendous pressure at the same time. And so the way we set things up, there's really, you know, there's a right way, there's a wrong way to do things. This is better than that. And so women tend to often feel like they're not doing things right. And so there's this idea, too, of the good mom versus the bad mom, which we joke about. And I think we'd be better off just abandoning that altogether. And
But aren't some practices, to generalize, better than others? I mean, what you go into the amazing quality of breast milk, for example. So how do you say, you know, in general, breastfeeding is a great idea without a mom or a pregnant woman taking that in as pressure.
Right. So, well, I mean, I'm hoping to say that breast milk, this is where it comes from. To me, that enthusiasm for breastfeeding and breast milk comes from an appreciation of the female body, which I don't think we have enough of in our culture. That's not to say, you know, the truth is, though, that we don't have enough support for women who want to breastfeed. And there are also people who are unable to. So formula, I'm glad that it exists. While breast milk is optimal nutrition for a baby, guess what? In America, your baby's going to be fine if it has formula. But what I'm interested in is, instead of saying one is better than the other, why don't we just make it clear, even if we suddenly reversed all of our policies and supported women completely, not every child is going to be breastfed. You know, in America, 25% of women go back to work after just 2 weeks after giving birth. So why don't we just make sure that both options are accessible to people and that we have the best formula possible?
Josie, you mentioned swaddling and sleeping on the back versus the belly. What are some ways that pregnancy was different for you and your daughter? Not child rearing, but the
pregnancy.
Before that, yeah.
During my time, we look up to our physicians, follow their advice, look up to them. Even in the Philippine culture, doctors are looked upon with respect, you know, because they're the knowledgeable one. Mm-hmm. And I grew up into that concept. I never have a lot of the materials that Angela has now availed herself of. And
yes, hi, Lagaya. Did you? We were talking about that women can feel judged and held to a perfectionist standard. My wife felt that way around it could be breast milk or a glass of wine or raw fish or many, many practices. Did you have a version of that when you were pregnant? Did you feel these societal pressures, and what were they if you did?
Well, my situation is unusual in the sense that we immigrated here in 1970. My husband came to the United States, and we didn't have any support system. I was not even in my own Filipino community. So I kind of was on my own when we raised our children. And we just went by how we were going to raise our children. We didn't go by the book or whatever. We just follow our instinct, providing them with love.
And how was that? Was that easier? Was it harder? Or both?
I think both. Both. Well, it was hard in a sense, especially when I was telling them when I got sick and I had nobody around and I had two boys, I couldn't get up. But you survived that and then start forming your friends afterwards, your root system, you know, they're growing up. But I think,
you know, my mom is an incredibly strong person and she's an incredibly smart person and she was on her own and she had to trust her instincts. And part of what I want to advocate for in the book is that, yes, we have, you know, almost infinite number of ways to get knowledge and an infinite number of opinions. If you look on the internet, you can find whatever answer it is you're looking for. And I want women to feel like they can trust themselves, that, you know, of course they're looking out for the baby. And so that should be a given. You know, we shouldn't assume that people are making selfish choices and, you know, in putting their baby in peril at every turn. Really, everyone's doing the best with what they have. My mom did that, you know, 40 years ago, and women are still doing that. And it's been 40 years, so I feel like women should feel more supported than they did 40 years ago.
You also talk in your book, the book is Like a Mother by Angela Garbez. The subtitle is A Feminist Journey Through the Science and Culture of Pregnancy. And you get into the physicality of pregnancy, Angela, mm-hmm. in a way you say isn't what most women hear about, you know, body parts and fluids and smells, right?
That's Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a very, very transformative and wild physical ride. You grow another person in your body. Your organs have to go somewhere else while that baby grows. Mm-hmm. And getting that baby out means those organs move around and then they also have to go, hopefully, back into place. But it's not always like that. You know, it's an incredible physical transformation. And, you know, my mom and I both had surgeries to have our children, and that wreaks a lot of havoc on the body.
And Josie, what was that like reading your daughter's book that was so explicit about that physical part of it, that's not in a way that most Americans, at least, are used to reading about?
Reading. Well, because of my nursing background, I'm used to the anatomy and physiology, but I'm sure other people are not. But it's still amazing, you know, for me to read it as a review.
Do you have a review of it?
No.
Oh, yes. Let's hear your review.
Well, I had 3 cesarean sections, so I pretty much can identify with what she went through. Mm. But it was not a choice for me, having a C-section for the second and third, my second and my third children. So mm-hmm. It was rough, but... And I come from a culture where pain is, we tolerate a lot of pain. You know, I never had pain medications after my C-section. Oh, but finally, on the third one, one of the nurses says, "Why do you want to do that?" And, you know, a simple aspirin helped me. So I was not afraid to say, "Take an aspirin. You don't have to suffer."
Angela, you seem like you're learning about some of this for the first time.
Yeah, no, I'm so glad we're all here together talking about this. Thank you for having us. I was on Percocet for weeks after my C-sections, and to think of my mother, I mean, I'm already on record as saying she's incredibly strong, but I didn't realize that she recovered from 2 C-sections without any pain medication. That is, first of all, everything about caring for a newborn is at odds with recovering from surgery, and the idea that you did that without anything is just, you're incredible, Mom.
Can you feel that admiration, Angela, without the stigma and shame? You get into that in your book too, the idea of how you have a child and what kind of medications you're on and whether you're at home or you're in a hospital.
Yeah, I just feel like we tend to view things as, I mean, you can certainly have your personal opinion about what you want for yourself. You should have that, right? And you can have an opinion. But the truth is, you know, we give birth 2 ways now. There's a tremendous pressure. You know, we divide along like medical, quote unquote, I'm using air quotes, medical or natural childbirth. But a baby born from its mother's body is natural, however that happens. And so why don't we just accept that we give birth 2 ways now? One is not better than the other. And again, why don't we just try to provide and make sure that both options are safe and accessible for all women?
Angela, you begin the book on motherhood, on pregnancy, with the story of a miscarriage. And one woman you spoke to about pregnancy loss said, "Women were made for birth and life and death." What does that mean to you? What has that meant to you?
It was, I remember when she said it, Dr. Kristen Swanson, she's the dean of nursing at Seattle University, and it stayed with me, and it was a huge guiding image in what I wrote about miscarriage. But I think what it gets to is that women are incredibly powerful to be able to grow a life inside of you and to be able to give birth, which is no joke. That's a tremendous power. And I wish that we as a culture could see it as that we could talk about it as a tremendously powerful thing, not something that is disempowering or that makes us feel weak or that makes us feel broken afterwards.
Do you think of yourself as, do you need to get Ligaya?
Well, I wanted to see if my mom had something to say, so
yes.
I could go grab her.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, we could do a little shift while you can go around while
I'm
asking
your
mom.
Yeah, I'm going to come around and get her so my mom can talk.
We're talking about women being made for birth and life and death. And Josie, you worked for years as a hospice nurse. You said that when your own mother was dying, it was hard to set your training aside and just be her daughter. Would
yes.
you tell us that story?
Well, I have been a hospice nurse for how many years? Maybe 20 years, half my career. But when my mother was dying, she didn't want to die. It was so hard to discuss death with my mom. She was 97 and a half at that time. She wanted to live to be 100. If you had known my mom, she was life. She danced. She learned how to drive at over age 60. She sold insurance policy when she migrated to Canada. She was dancing until the day she had the dialysis. And she didn't want to die. And it was so difficult. I couldn't talk to her about putting a living will or something like that. So what I decided to do was just let her die the way she wants to die. And finally, the day came where she said, "I don't want to have any more dialysis." And I said to her, "Mom, if you stop your dialysis, you know you're going to die." And she said, "I know." So we gave her that dignity. She never had hospice care. But it wasn't very popular in the Philippines at that time, too, hospice care. But she died with dignity. She chose the way she wanted to leave this earth. And we were so glad that we were able to do that for her.
Angela has experiencing pregnancy loss and motherhood and researching this topic and talking with your mother. Has that changed your relationship with your mom, Josie?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
How's that?
Well, my mom, I've felt nothing but unconditional love for my mom, and I'm really lucky in that way. But we're very different people. And, you know, I'm not the daughter that she and my dad expected to have, and I grew up in a totally different culture. And when I got pregnant, I started thinking, well, I guess to back up, I'd say that like many of us who are fortunate enough to have our moms in our lives, we think of moms as being a really fixed identity. They're the rock, they're the foundation of our families. And it did not occur to me until I myself was pregnant and became a mom that she was someone who changed right along with us, that she went through so many different changes in her life. So I came to her with a new understanding and with wanting to talk to her about all of those things, and also just to realize what she put on the line for us in her life and giving birth to us and all that she did for us. And it's just opened up our relationship, and I feel like we're learning from each other and we depend on each other in ways that we didn't before.
You want the last word, Mom?
The last word? Well, you know, we grew up in a different culture. When we brought our children here, little did we realize it's going to be a whole different culture that my children were going to grow into, up into. But they're all, I mean, I'm not sorry that they didn't, were not raised in the Philippines. I'm glad they were raised here because they have their own characters, their strong opinions, they're independent in their thinking. And that the number one thing that we always stress is family comes first. We have to remain family, no matter where we are.
Angela, do you think Ligaya needs you now?
I mean, she always needs me. She's 3 months old, so.
She seems like she has a good sense of when it's time for a conversation to come to a natural conclusion. Ligaya, thanks for hanging in there. Again, Ligaya, the number is 206-543-9595, just for future reference.
You can join Josie, who's my mom, Josie, who's already an evergreen member of AUOW.
Angela Garvez is the author of the book, Like a Mother, A Feminist Journey Through the Science and Culture of Pregnancy. And Angela's here with her daughter and with Angela's mom. Josie, thank you for coming into KUOW and talking with us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Angela.
Thank
you for having us.
Bye, Ligaya. This is The Record on KUOW Seattle.